This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
If you're just getting in your car after 5 o'clock, congrats. You made it through another workday. Aaron Banks, Charvarius Ward, Talanoa Hufanga, Dre Greenlaw, Jalen Moore, Josh Dobbs, and Eli Mitchell all play for other teams. But the Niners did bring back Kevin Givens. They did bring back Patrick Taylor Jr., and they signed Luke Farrell, a blocking tight end from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Did I miss anyone, or is that their day?
I think you got it all.
I got it. Yeah, that's their day. That's the night. Yeah, it's not inspirational. I mean, I think you can
shout
make
out Ben Bartsch from earlier in the
Ben Bartsch, season. Yeah, which had already taken place.
Huge.
And Deebo Samuel, if we wanted to like add in things that have already happened.
Some guy named Tomlinson, I think, too.
Tomlinson?
Cornerback, right?
Oh, yeah, they claimed him off waivers.
Oh,
yeah.
A guy named Tomlinson. I'm like, his first name's not LaDainian. I'm not all that into it. But anyway, yeah. Not a great day, and this, I think, is a media and fan thing. I'll admit that there have been moments where I've felt this. I don't know if you're supposed to govern your team this way, but yeah, it would be nice to have some sort of a signature move. How would you feel about today if Joey Bosa had signed with the 49ers?
I would feel a little bit better. I'm not that enamored with the idea of Joey Bosa, a guy who's missed half of his games over the last 3 years. He is a declining, oft-injured player. So the idea of two Bosas and, you know, maybe having a weekly conversation with his mom, who's a good interview, that sounds fun to me. And the whole Bosa brothers and, like, the new Bash brothers, you know, that whole part of it would be fun. But from a pure football standpoint, I don't think that that's where I'd want to spend my money. And he's going to be, I don't know how much he's going to get, probably more than Dre Greenlaw just got, who got, what, $35 million over 3 years? Feels to me like Joey Bosa is going to be $15 million a year or more for who knows how many years.
Yeah.
He's coming up on being 30, and he's just hurt all the time. So
if you're going to sign Bosa, that better be a lot of incentives for everything that you just said. I am not wooed by the novelty of having a Bosa on both ends of the defensive line. I am not wooed by that at all.
Wooed by the novelty, yeah. But I like the novelty part of it. It would be fun.
It's fun, but it's only fun if he plays football. Okay? Do you know how many games that he's played in the last three seasons out of a possible 51?
Yeah,
you know how many he's played?
I think the answer is 25.
I think it's 28. I looked it up.
Barely
28.
Half.
You know how many he started?
Fewer than that, but
18.
It doesn't even matter starting.
Well, I mean,
I get it, but
kinda.
Well, if you're not out there for the first snap on defense, then you don't get the start.
Well,
you can play 55 snaps, but you didn't start. I get your point.
They're not putting him out there for full level of snaps if they're not starting him. It means he's either partially hurt or they only saw him as a rotational piece, which, by the way, may exactly be what the 49ers see in him.
Well, that's the way the 49ers use Nick Bosa. He only plays about 75% of the snaps. He's not a guy who plays every snap on defense. It's not the way they approach it here.
The Denver defense will have DJ Jones at defensive tackle, Dre Greenlaw right behind him, and Talanoa Hufanga right behind him.
Little alumni
game. That's the
right?
That's the Broncos. Let's go to Jose in Hayward. Jose, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, you know, I just want to say, I know losing Greenlaw, that hurts. It definitely hurts. But you know what? We got one of the best coaches, defensive coordinators, come back to coach the team, and he's going to get the best out of these guys. So even though I'm hurt that Greenlaw's gone, I got faith in the coach. You're giving the play.
Jose, thanks. And obviously a reference to Robert Saleh coming back. And, you know, look, that's one of those round and round things. Like, a coach is only as good as his players, and the players are, to a degree, certainly, I don't want to say only as good as their coach, but yeah, like, if you're not, you can be a good player. If you're not a well-coached organization, that's not going to go well. I think that the Niners are a very well-coached organization. I think they've got a lot of good players, but what today feels like is an extension of what my first reaction was when John Lynch spoke at the Combine. And I don't know if you remember that conversation, but when I listened to him talk, and he was talking about getting younger, and he was talking about certain players, and he was talking about at a certain point, the financial part of it starts to kind of take shape. The whole vibe of the thing was the Niners brass is taking their team back. And I really feel like they felt like they had lost control of the power in recent years. They got beat on the Bosa deal. They get beat on the Ayuk deal. And you know what I mean by get beat.
Yeah.
And then and obviously, Trent Williams goes into a holdout. Christian McCaffrey, the second he acts, they blink and give him more money. And then everybody shows up one day kind of old and hurt and underperforming. And so, you know, whether this is a good thing or a bad thing or somewhere in between, the brass walked in this year and went, dude, we're in charge. We're in charge. We're not handing out thank you contracts. And if we see an offer to another team that looks out of whack, we're not going to blink. And I could look, that takes some courage, I guess. But at the same time, they're not wrong.
Yet.
Yeah.
You go 4-13, then you're wrong.
And you're wrong.
If you are relying on, and I don't want to keep putting his name out there like he's not very good, but if it's Ben Bartsch and Kevin Givens and these are your guys and you're going to have, you know, Jake Brendel as your center and a 37-year-old left tackle and you don't add wide receivers, whatever you try and do in the draft and free agency, if it doesn't work, then you were wrong. And that's just the way it goes. It's a results business. Like, the team last year, should they have been better than 6-11? Absolutely.
Of course they should.
But you had three games that you blew that would have made you 9-8, and there was other games that you probably could have gutted out, and that's the way football goes. It's a razor's edge of winning and losing, and if you wind up with a team that's just not good enough and you're paying Brandon Ayuk $30 million a year, and he's coming off of a double knee injury, two ligaments torn in his knee, and he may not be available at the start of the year, and you go forward with just Jacob Cowing and Ricky Pearsall, if that's not good enough, then yeah, you lose. And I'll look back on these days where you had more exits than entrances and remember that this was a time where your roster just didn't get better.
Yeah, well, and again, the Niners,
it's early.
Yeah, the Niners are not going to forget to sign people. I look at it simply from the standpoint of, like, do you want the player back? And part of that is based on what we know and we've watched, and then part of that is based on the reporting that we stay so close to. And I know that the 49ers wanted Dre Greenlaw back, and they didn't get him. I don't think that they really had a too much interest in keeping any of the other players, and I also know they're not, like, morons. So it's not like they woke up today and didn't know that today was today. It's not like they don't have a plan in terms of who they're going to put into these positions. So I don't think it's freak out time yet. I really don't.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out, but it has me thinking more and more about last year being a Super Bowl or bust year, and now we're starting to see the bust where you're busting this up, and you had six or seven guys leave today, and you're right. If you look at the list of players who are leaving, none of them had absolutely stellar years, and if they're making more money than what they're worth, or if their contract offers out there are more than what you want to pay, yeah, you move on. And I look at Javon Hargrave, and you look back on that deal, and that was a bad deal. And the Deebo restructure was a bad deal. And the Brandon Ayuk contract was a bad deal. And Trent Williams, we're going to see, that may end up being a bad deal as well. And Christian McCaffrey, when you restructured him, that might be a bad deal too. A guy who's got bilateral Achilles tendonitis. He was unable to play even maybe a quarter of the season last year before sustaining a different injury. So all these players that you were trying to make happy and restructure and give them, you know, fresh money to make their deals solid for them, they're looking like bad deals.
Yeah, a lot of them were. No doubt. What if I threw it to you this way also, though? Because I'm always a believer when news like this hits and things are happening, they're so much further ahead on what it is they're doing. They've got their plan. They know their books. They've got their structure, right? So why are they saying no to all of these things? I wonder, and I'm going to keep his name out of this, but I had a conversation with someone who's pretty tapped in on the 49ers over the weekend, and he brought up the name Fred Warner and said, you know, Fred Warner has no guaranteed money left on his deal. And people of the caliber of Fred Warner don't show up to camp and play football when there's no guaranteed money left on the deal. Think Trent Williams. Trent Williams last year was in the exact same situation. When you're that accomplished in the game, you don't show up for non-guaranteed money. So what does that mean? I mean, is that one to watch? Fred Warner might need some sort of a restructure or a new contract or an extension or whatever, and the Niners need to work on that when it comes to figuring out their linebacker room, as opposed to getting emotional about Dre Greenlaw. And I say that as a person who really wanted them to keep Dre Greenlaw. I would have tried to make, like, I would have taken the risk. But I also don't know if that, like, if you do that, does that cause some sort of a problem with the Fred Warner situation? And if that's the case, then I get why they're doing what they're doing, because there's nobody on that defense more important than Fred.
Right. At the same time, you look at the price that you're going to have to pay him, and I'm just looking at SpotTrack, and the cap hit for the upcoming year is $29 million, and the dead cap is $28.8 million. So some of the things that you've done in the past to restructure and prorate these bonuses out into the future, those are numbers that, even if you want to restructure, those are numbers and, you know, bonuses and all the rest of it that you're eventually going to have to either pay out or eat on the cap. And these are the things that they've done with a lot of these other contracts. So do you want Fred Warner? Yeah, he's only 28 and a half. He's got many more good years. And last year he played with a broken ankle, and he was still really, really good. He was one of your three best defensive players, and he played on a broken ankle. So yes, you want Fred, and you also understand that a player like Fred, who's got that resume, he's on his way to Canton if this continues. Even if it doesn't continue, he's probably a Hall of Famer. So he probably needs and deserves a new deal. But when you do that, you're just taking more money and pushing it out into the future for years that you won't ever see him play football.
Well, here's what I can say, and I guarantee you everybody out there is feeling this. Even if they're smart moves, it's not fun. It's not fun to sit here and watch other teams make news. And, oh, by the way, we're coming off of a weekend where Josh Allen got an extension and sort of, like, changes the whole outlook of the quarterback market. And that, too, with the 49ers has been completely quiet. Nothing with Brock Purdy. And by the way, nothing really expected with Brock Purdy. The only thing that came out recently about Brock Purdy was this report from Diana Russini. This is on the Scoop City podcast. And you may remember that last week, Jason LaConfora had a report that the Niners' opening offer to Brock Purdy was $45 million. And it led to a lot of media because people were taking two opinions. Either one side was like, exactly, Brock's not worth this stupid $60 million. And then there were others, and I was in this camp where I was like, dude, if I were Brock and his agent and you came at me with $45 million, I would have looked at you and I would have said, I look forward to hearing back from you when you're ready to actually have a real conversation. I can't believe you wasted my time by having me come here so that you could start talking about $45 freaking million. But Diana Russini says that never happened.
There was something that came out that the starting offer was $45 million a year for Brock Purdy.
That
Do you false. Think that's disrespectful?
That would be disrespectful, and that did not happen.
Okay.
That's
wow.
Not, that's not true.
It
that's
didn't happen.
True. That did not.
Okay.
They
see,
did not
offer $45 million. And that's why I don't believe everything
see,
I hear.
Okay, that's Chase Daniel is the other is the other voice there. So it's interesting, right? Josh Allen, he gets a new extension. His APY is 55 a year, but there's guarantees involved in all that. And some people are like, ah, see, Josh got 55. Brock's not getting anywhere near that. And then Diana Russini, who's as tapped in as any reporter out there, says, yeah, 45 would be completely disrespectful for Brock Purdy.
It depends on what the guarantee is, as we've said a million different times. And Josh Allen's guarantee is $250 million. But that's not the actual guarantee at signing. That's the guarantee if he goes through the entire contract. But just for the average annual number of 55, if we want to play with that, and then you look at what Sam Darnold signed today, which was 3 years and slightly over $100 million, so roughly $34 million average annual. So would you put Brock between Darnold and Josh Allen? Yeah, he's closer to Josh Allen than he is Sam Darnold, certainly, but how far up the ladder do you need to go? If Josh Allen's making $55 million average annual, do you pay Brock more than Josh Allen?
Well, I mean, bottom line, day one for the 49ers, quiet.
Yeah.
Super, super quiet. 888-957-9570 is the number. We're getting closer to Warriors Live. Warriors host in Portland tonight, and let's go to Grandy. We got this update on Warrior injuries.
Yeah, Steve Kerr speaking pregame right now. He has said that he's hopeful that both Jonathan Kuminga and Brandon Pajemski will return later this week.
Okay, well, there's only one more game later this week.
Hopeful.
That's hosting Sacramento on Thursday night. So hopeful for Pods and Kuminga on Thursday night. And then, of course, for me, that's when the real fun begins, because one of two things is going to happen. Either Jonathan Kuminga is going to come back into this lineup and it's like, poof, he's going to look like all of us are hoping he looks. Like, oh, wow, the Warriors are playing great, and now you add this athleticism and this talent to the whole thing. On ball defense, poof, this just fits and works great. Or it causes more rotation problems for Steve Kerr. Like, I got to admit, one thing I've really loved about the acquisition of Jimmy Butler is the clarity it has provided Steve Kerr in rotations. Doesn't mean every guy's going to play well every single night, but we know exactly what we're going to get. And if Buddy's shots are not falling, for example, you get fewer minutes. But if they are falling, you're going to stay out there a little bit more. But that's kind of it. Like, you don't need to make a whole lot of decisions. You know who your guys are, you go to your guys, and poof, you play.
Yeah, it's kind of an 8 or 9-man rotation, depending on the night and the matchup. And, you know, Trayce Jackson-Davis played a couple of minutes of late action. And even Kevon Looney right now is a guy who isn't always going to get reliable minutes. It feels like off the bench, it's Buddy, it's Gee, and it's Gary, and that's it. So you throw Kuminga in there, and now you've got perhaps a 9-man rotation, and when Pods is there, it's a 10-man rotation, but you really don't want to have to play 10, so you start to think about who loses their minutes, and I do think Kevon, Gee probably won't be playing 25 minutes a night, although you played the sound earlier, and Steve's like, Gee's going to have to be out there, because when he is out there, things go really well for this team.
Yeah, here's the comment by Kerr on Saturday night with regard to, especially now that he's put a date on it, and the fact that there's hope that Jonathan Kuminga is going to return on Thursday night. Here's what Kerr said when asked after the game Saturday, how do you go about doing that with a team that's playing so well?
It's a really difficult thing when you are playing really well and then you have a key guy coming back. And it's always tough. So I think the idea is just bring him along slowly, you know, play him in short bursts, help him get his rhythm back. But, you know, we've got to keep playing Gui Santos. You know, we've got to keep playing the guys who are helping us win right now. And so usually this stuff has to kind of play out. And so we'll hope that it plays out.
Okay. So there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. A, the admission that it is very, very difficult when you're playing well to suddenly inject a key player back into the lineup. And then a lot of people fixated on that quick sentence there in the middle. I got to keep playing Gui Santos. I mean, dude, he was fantastic Saturday night.
Yes, and he's been fantastic the last four games. And if you go by the small sample size of plus minus, he's been almost a plus 50 over four games. And you just watch him play. He's out there doing all the little things, hustling, diving, rebounding, hitting open shots, finishing at the rim with a putback last night, which was an awesome play. He fights for the offensive rebound, jumps, and kind of gets scissor clicked by the defender, still tips it in and gets the and one, and you were at the game, and he's going crazy,
dude, it was
running
something.
Around,
that
victory
was a,
lap.
It was
and,
a real moment. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like an energizer piece. He reminds me a little bit of GP2 at his best in the championship run, where he doesn't need the ball to make an impact. He'll go out there and find the ball and make an impact.
888-957-9570. Now that Steve Kerr says it looks like Thursday, there's hope, just hope, that Brandon Pajemski and Jonathan Kuminga will be back. What kind of role would you like to see Jonathan Kuminga play? And I'll admit it, I've had a hard time with this today. In fact, I'm literally sitting here fighting people on Twitter because of the quote that you chose there, Luke, which completely makes it sound like I think that the Warriors are a better team without Jonathan Kuminga. Laughable, silly, and Luke, I know that that's not what it meant. If there's no context to the conversation, that might be what it sounds like. That's not what I said. The Warriors are not better without Jonathan Kuminga. Here's a fact. They've played better since he left. Now, obviously, they acquired Jimmy Butler in there. But the bottom line is this, for me, for the Golden State Warriors. They are playing the best basketball that I've watched them play in 2 years, and during that window, Kuminga was not available or on the team. That is something they've got to deal with. Doesn't mean they should keep him out. Doesn't mean that that Kuminga's not going to come in and have a positive impact and make them better. But here's what it does mean. Be freaking careful. You better hold this like a wounded bird in your hand. You are playing phenomenal basketball right now. You are firing up the board. You have moved into the sixth seed, and you might go higher. And the team, whether anyone wants to admit it or not, believes they can actually do something really, really special later on this spring and this summer. That's what they believe, and that's all been built while Jonathan Kuminga is hurt. And This is touchy. It's touchy because you want Jonathan back. He's a great player. He's a big piece of your team. But there's nothing more important in professional sports than getting that W. And they're getting the W's right now. They finally found the chemistry that works. How can you upset the chemistry? How can you do that?
Well, you don't have to upset it, and you don't have to throw him in there for 30 minutes. It's easy to just slowly bring him back, and I do think that's what he's been doing. And Anthony Slater joined us before, and he wasn't necessarily saying that they're holding him back because they're doing well, but they don't have the urgency to rush him back because things are going well. You're winning at a very good clip. You're one of the best teams since the trade deadline, second only to Cleveland and OKC, who happen to be the best two teams in basketball. Cleveland's undefeated since the Warriors acquired Jimmy Butler,
really,
which is
13
straight.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about. Just like the Warriors have been great, but OKC and Cleveland have been just even a little bit better, and Boston's right on the Warriors' heels. But you're not under any pressure to throw Kuminga in there and make it work. You're going to bring him back slowly anyway. They do play Thursday and Saturday. He won't play tonight. And I know Steve Kerr, according to Grandy, said that, you know, he's hopeful that they'll be able to play this week, which he and Brankin. So you have Thursday and Saturday, and I'm hopeful that whenever he does come back, Jonathan Kuminga, you get him, you know, 12 or 15 minutes. You let him get a sweat, and you can slowly see who he plays best with, what's the fit, what's his fitness, and all the rest of it. So your wounded bird analogy is good. I don't know if you've ever held a wounded bird, but you gotta make sure you close it up, close up shop, but not too tight, and you gotta gently, and I know what you're saying, and that's kind of what you're doing with this whole Warrior experience. Right now, it's so precious. We want this to continue, and so you don't want him to come in and be disruptive.
Look, 925 just texted this in on the text line, and this is a very fair question, especially for Warrior fans who, again, we get emotional. It's like, wait a minute, we love JK. How could you say this about JK? Okay, fine. Whose minutes does he take?
Well, he takes a little bit of Gee and a little bit of Moses.
I'm already triggered.
Some of, Kevon Looney.
I'm already triggered.
Well, it's just the way it's going to be. And you won't be triggered if he comes in and plays well and they win. So just like I'm triggered by the 49ers doing nothing in free agency on day one, you're right to say you don't know who they're going to replace these people with, and I don't know if it's going to work. Ben Bartsch could be a Pro Bowler. I don't know that. And you also don't know that, you know, 6 minutes fewer of Moses and Gee, they might win 9 of 10 with Kuminga in that role.
Sure.
So, yeah. I mean... Yeah.
I don't know that, but I like... Gee Santos and Moses Moody are playing really, really good basketball.
Yeah, the whole team is, really.
And so I guess my question is why can't we find more people to defend them and their good play as opposed to the defending of Jonathan Kuminga and what he's supposed to have because of his sort of made-up standing in the organization or financial structure that happens in our minds.
Put aside the contract situation, because that's not, I mean, it's nobody's business.
No, but Goo literally said it to us earlier. It's like, no, but they owe it to him. Oh, here we go with the owe it to him.
Yeah, they don't owe it to him, and I would imagine that, you know, Jonathan Kuminga is probably more antsy about it than the Warriors are.
For sure.
And if I'm the Warriors, I would be privately a little bit pleased that, you know, he missed 30 games and we've done this well, because no matter what Kuminga does, unless he totally goes off, and Anthony Slater said it so perfectly, if Jonathan comes back and plays great and it leads to a deep run, well, now his number is going to be humongous.
That's true.
If he comes back
and that would be great. That would be great.
They would be thrilled to give him $38 million a year.
Sure.
If they go to the NBA Finals or the Western Finals and Kuminga's back and he's him, well, then he's going to get the bag. And if he comes back and he's a little bit tentative and shaky and maybe it's not a great fit and the Warriors kind of flatline, well, then Kuminga's not going to get the bag.
Yeah, they're just interesting. I tell you what this is born out of for me is I think over the last 2 to 3 weeks, this is about as much fun as I've had watching the Warriors since they won a title.
Pretty fun, huh? And not just being there with your class,
right,
but just on TV and the whole thing. Yeah,
I can't wait for 7 o'clock tonight. I mean, I can wait for 7 o'clock because it's actually going to take to like 7:12 until they tip off. But you know what I'm saying?
I get it.
And the Blazers are here on a Monday. This is not appointment stuff normally, but it is now.
This whole damn thing is appointment.
Like, you know what I mean?
And Grady said it perfectly in our thread last week when they were down 27-5 against Brooklyn. Like,
shrugged it off.
Yeah, and you said the same thing.
Yeah,
like,
I'm like, they'll win.
And I think Jude, your son, is like, Dad.
Jude, what the hell's going on here, Dad?
Don't worry about it.
I said, they'll make a run. Don't worry.
6 weeks ago, if they were down 27-5,
we'd go do something else with our night.
Yeah.
Pull out Connect Four and start playing.
Watch that funky indoor golf league that they were rolling out. Something. Yeah. Cornhole or whatever.
So, like,
I'm with you, though. This thing now is like,
I just feel protective of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's
like a wounded bird.
Right. And it sucks. It sucks that Jonathan needs to be like the representative of the don't mess with what we've got. I don't mean it to be pointed at Jonathan. It could be anybody. It could be absolutely anybody. And if he does get mixed in and he performs at a high level, wonderful. Even better, in fact. But I am very, very protective of what I've watched the Warriors do over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Because it's quite frankly, it's not just good basketball. It's like inspiring. It really is. They've pulled this out of I don't know where.
Miami.
Well, right. But, like, we don't see acquisitions pay off this quickly, this firmly, ever. We don't see that. And we've spent 2 years on this radio station debating whether or not Steph Curry's run is done and whether we should even be trying to do anything with it. And then 2 nights ago, I'm watching the guy walk down a hallway howling at the moon. He's so excited. And so, yeah, you got to be careful, man. Things are going really, really well. So, you know.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but it's not so fragile that Jonathan Kuminga coming back is going to disrupt it. And,
that's a good point. That's a fair point.
I do think that what they have done since Jimmy has come is, it's real. It's not like phony, and we can talk about the schedule, and we had a caller earlier talk about, you know, you haven't done it against any of the real ones. Okay, you're right. You haven't done it against OKC, Boston, Cleveland, or the Lakers. That's fair, but what they have done, to me, is legit, it's tangible, and it's not fragile. So Kuminga coming back, I do think that Steve Kerr and the whole organization will shepherd him in correctly.
Yeah.
You don't need him to play 30 minutes or 35 minutes. He gets healthy Thursday or Saturday, hopefully. You see what you've got, and you start to look at where he fits best. And while you do that, you probably continue to play well and win because, you know, although you do have, well, you got Sacramento, and you do have Denver coming up, and Milwaukee, and so you'd like to see what you've got with Kuminga before you get into that little mini gauntlet.
I forgot who they're playing.
New York, Denver, and Milwaukee is next week.
New York is Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday game.
Yes. Denver, yeah. Monday.
The Knicks.
Milwaukee on a back to back.
And no Jalen Brunson, probably, right?
He's right.
Probably not back yet.
Yeah.
Probably not back yet.
You got Portland, Sac, and then New York on Saturday.
And then Denver, Milwaukee is the Monday, Tuesday back to back.
Yeah.
And Toronto a week from Thursday in the game that we'll be down there for.
Yeah, you will. Yeah.
I keep saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and I should play along because we as a show, I will be three sheets.
Oh God.
In Vegas. Probably four sheets by then. By tip time.
How quickly do you get after it? Like the games start at what? Like nine?
Yeah.
And are you already there for it? Like, do you go Wednesday night?
I usually go,
or do you go
first
five
thing
in the morning?
Out smoking okay. On Thursday.
Yeah.
Although having a 2.5-year-old has complicated my departure plans
a
little.
You know what that is?
It's a complication sensation is what it is.
Because
I do the preschool drop-off, and they don't open until 8. So I thought about dropping her off at 4 with a note on her.
Oh, crap.
But that sounds like it might be a felony.
Yeah, Just go a little later and drink on the plane. That'd be my advice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
I'd like to go a little earlier and drink
on the plane.
What's wrong with you?
Let's go to Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What's going on? What are you doing?
I'm sitting here with my favorite dog, Chili, and getting ready to go to the park.
Oh,
all right.
Good dog. Good dog.
Yeah, good job, Gene. What's
good
up?
Good dog. She's a good dog. Yeah,
he is.
Hey, listen, I think we're worried a little too much about Kuminga maybe upsetting the apple cart here. First of all, I don't think Kerr is going to allow that to happen. And keep in mind, you know, when he sends players out on the floor, they don't all come in and immediately play well. I mean, look at Buddy Hield, especially in the last 4 or 5 games, how many bricks he's thrown up. And we're still deep enough and strong enough to win. So, you know, and looking at the last game, you know, Curry played a good game, except he couldn't hit three. So my point is that I think we're a strong enough and deep enough team, and we have a great coach that's going to monitor this very carefully. I think J.K. goes out there and he starts hitting, you know, shots immediately and playing good defense, fine. He'll get the minutes. And if he doesn't, he'll just, he'll pull him back a little bit and let him kind of work into the system a better.
Yeah, Gene, thanks so much. I worried is the wrong word. I'm not worried about anything. I'm really not worried about anything. This whole conversation is born from two things. And really, the first one is what Steve Kerr said the other night after the game.
It's a really difficult thing when you are playing really well and then you have a key guy coming back. It's always tough. So I think the idea is just bring him along slowly, you know, play him in short bursts, help him get his rhythm back. But, you know, we've got to keep playing Guy Santos. You know, we've got to keep playing the guys who are helping us win right now. And so usually this stuff has to kind of play out. And so we'll hope that it plays out.
That's really the core of this conversation, is the fact that Steve was asked about it and he's immediately said, it's very difficult and it's very tough. And then went on to say, and we need to keep playing the people who are playing. And so that's all I'm saying right now, is this an extension of what he's saying to sort of like enforce the idea that when people believe that Jonathan is owed something because he's Jonathan, my answer is no, he's not. No, he's not. In professional sports, nothing matters more than winning.
Yeah.
And so when you're winning, you follow that.
And I would even go as far, and I've said this before, about I never thought that the franchise owed it to Steph to, you know, give him one more swing at it. And Steph even said it, like, we're not going to do something reckless just to try to make a crazy move. Turned out you made the perfect move to give you exactly that, because you're the sixth seed and you've got a chance to continue matriculating up the board the way you're playing. But you don't owe Jonathan Kuminga anything. All you owe it to him is for him to win healthy, have a chance to come back and be a contributor for what you've got going on.
Mitch is in Riverdale, Maryland, and next up on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Mitch. Thanks for the call.
Hey, man. Love your show.
Thank you.
Yes, man. We need Jonathan Kuminga's length and athleticism. Okay, we're still a relatively non-athletic, smallish team. And as good as we're doing, despite that, eventually we're going to run into some horses with OKC and other teams that have a lot of length and youth and can jump through the roof. Jonathan Kuminga can run with these guys. And if you remember last year, he locked some pretty good offensive players down. So we need to integrate him in the lineup. We need to utilize him where we have weaknesses, which is on the inside. You know, he you know, rips rebounds off the backboard and he goes up strong, and we lack that. You know, we have a lot of smallish players who are afraid to go inside, and, you know, like they pass the ball back out a lot. So I think, you know, Kuminga can fit on the team, and we can reduce Buddy Hield's minutes down to zero. He's a non-factor. There are ways to integrate Kuminga without diminishing Santos's role. We absolutely got to keep that guy on the court.
Yeah, so, Miss, let me throw a couple questions at you, because whenever someone says, let's give Jonathan all of Buddy Hield's minutes, I kind of like my ears perk up, because they play different positions, and so I don't know how feasible that would be. But because you said the Warriors are sort of missing X and they need Jonathan to fill that in, let me ask you about the last 3 weeks of basketball. And what is it that you see that the Warriors don't do well that they're going to need to do better?
I don't think that they I don't think they crash the boards on offense very well. I don't think they still, I mean, beyond Jimmy, beyond Butler and Guy Santos, I don't think they drive to the rim, you know, with a lot of power and force. And, you know, I think they resort to jump shots. Curry, you know, ends up, you know, going into the lane a little bit too much, getting beat up. You know, we need to take some of the pressure off the smaller guys going inside and you know, have some of our bigger guys go inside. And, you know, Moody is trying to, you know, become more of a force on the inside, but he's a little erratic. He's missing a lot of layups. Draymond Green's missing a lot of layups. I just feel like we don't have that same athletic force that other teams in the NBA does. And, you know, they score on the inside with a lot of fluidity and ease, and Kuminga is that type of player. He's an above-the-rim type of player, and I just think that the Warriors can benefit from that.
Okay, Mitch, thanks. Yeah, I feel where you're coming from. At the same time, maybe this is why I came out of Saturday night's game so intrigued and so inspired. That's one of the best defensive teams in the game. It's certainly They were often, by Warrior players, called the most physical team in the NBA. They foul the most. They are pretty big down low. Not necessarily the tallest team, but they're big. They've got a lot of big, physical, wide guys. Warriors out-rebounded them. The addition of Jimmy Butler, to me, says that things are going on inside the paint at a much, much higher level, actually, than they were before. They're getting to the free throw line more. They got to the free throw line more than Detroit did the other night. They're hitting a lot more of their free throws. All of those things. So I don't necessarily see those things that Mitch just brought up as a problem. They were more of a problem than they are now.
You will get even more free throw attempts, I believe, when Kuminga comes back and he's able to play 20 to 25 minutes, because Butler, well, he makes two out of every three, which he's at least going to get to the foul line. And outside of Jimmy Butler, as a team, you don't get there very often.
Let's get some more phone calls on this coming up next. And then Warriors Live is going to get started. 888-957-9570 is the number, and it is Willard and Dibbs.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mark, you out here sounding like a hater, my brother.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I know it sounds that way, but, you know, things aren't always as they seem. I do want to tell everybody one more time about this Thursday, because it sets up next Thursday, which I have now gathered will not include Dan Dibley.
And I'm a little gutted, because I love being at Splash with that scrolling scoreboard and all the screens.
It's going to be a fun day.
It's going to be really fun. And I would love to be there, and one of you will have the best seat in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, Evan Giddings is at Splash right now doing Warriors Live in 12 minutes.
Ridiculous.
Correct. I'm getting ready for the Blazers in town. But this Thursday, we want to invite you to be with us in the 5 o'clock hour because this Thursday sets up next Thursday. That's the 20th when NCAA tournament games start. And the Raptors will also be in town to wrap up a homestand for the Warriors. But anyway, back to this Thursday in the 5 o'clock hour, that's when you can win. Win your way in to the big day down there. We're giving away the best seat in the house package. And what that is you and a guest, two people, will go to Splash at Thrive City, new sports bar right next to Chase Center that's beautiful with great food. Thursday, March 20th, for the first day of the NCAA tournament. And the best seat in the house package includes a prime location, second floor of Splash. You're overlooking the huge video boards that are going to be showing tournament games. You get two appetizers, four entrees, and a dessert. How to win? Just be with us later this week. We'll tell you more information on how you can win. Thursday, 5 o'clock for the entire hour. That's what you need to focus on. Mm. And that will set up potentially a great day for you next Thursday on the 20th.
And I'm focused on the two appetizers and the four entrees, and I'm just looking, and it would be tough to choose. You fried calamari now.
Dude, the chicken nachos were like,
Live City nachos.
First rate.
Yep.
First rate.
If you like bruschetta.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's on there. Garlic fries, of course, is a can't miss. You get two of them, and the mains... you got
smash burger,
grilled salmon,
yep,
and short rib, little chicken piccata if you're so inclined. So,
dude, lots of options. I haven't made my way through the whole menu yet.
I haven't either. I was just thinking that
everything I've had is fantastic, and I've had some friends go down there and say the exact same thing about whatever they ordered. So
they got the spicy smash too.
They do.
In case you want to go ways. That way, yeah.
I think we had the spicy one. I think we did.
Okay. I thought we just had the Splash Smash.
Who knows? It was good. Whatever the hell it was.
Yep.
But anyway, be with us Thursday at 5 o'clock. You could end up at Splash for an unbelievable day for the NCAA tournament. Before we get back to the phones, also, it's Triples for Autism time, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. 12 threes for the Warriors Saturday against Detroit. That's another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. Steph had four. Jimmy Butler, Draymond, as we know, and Moses Moody all had a couple apiece. Some others chipped in, and poof, you get the 41st donation of the year for Triples for Autism. If you want to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. And that is Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli here for you, offering financial guidance and support through life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com.
Mm, I love it.
Let's go to Zach in San Jose. Zach, what are you doing, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
I just wanted to continue the conversation a second about when Kuminga comes back, what that rotation looks like. I actually don't think he's going to be taking, you know, someone like Heald minutes or any big minutes, for example. But and I have nothing against E. Santos. I was at the game against the Pistons. He played great. But even the last two games, he got 24, 25 minutes. And I think that's probably where you're going to see the difference. You know, he's going to take minutes from guys like Guy Santos, Kevin Knox, Trace Jackson Davis, and maybe even close lineups. I think Heald was in there last night at the closing. So I think it's probably just going to be rotational guy pieces that he takes, 20, 25 minutes. I don't see how that could go wrong. So, yeah, what do you guys think?
There's a couple things in there. And Zach, thanks so much. Appreciate the call. You know, you mentioned taking minutes from guys like Kevin Knox and Trace Jackson Davis. Let's be real, they don't have any minutes.
No.
You mentioned Guy Santos, and I think that's at the core of what we're talking about here. And there's more information to gather. Let's not act like Guy Santos is perfect every night, but he has been, A, very productive, but B, I love what Steve called him over the weekend, which was a connector. There's so many things that, especially if you're watching on TV or listening on the radio, there's so many things Guy does that you just don't see. But it's little possessions here and there, little things defensively that he does, little passes that he makes. He's just a hustler, man. He's a hustler, baby. He's a smart basketball player. And that's not to say that Jonathan isn't any of these things. But Jonathan's goals on a basketball court when he last left us are very different than Guy Santos's. You know, Jonathan's looking to score a bucket. He's a scorer. Guy Santos is looking to do all the little things, and those little things are really turning into big things because they're helping the Warriors win all their games.
Well,
right,
and they're
now
the things that you need when you've got Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler who are out there leading your team and scoring. Draymond Green could probably get you 15 a night, but it would not be an efficient 15, and he knows it, so he plays a different way. And when you get down to Guy and even Moses Moody, your job is not to always look to score. Like, Quentin Post's job is more to score than Guy and GP2, and I think Buddy Hield's the same way. It's like, all right, Buddy, we know you're a little defensively challenged and you're not a great rebounder. Come in and do exactly what you're best at. And I think that's the same for Guy and Moses Moody. And so for Kuminga, what he's best at, that job is kind of already taken by Jimmy Butler going to the basket, certainly Steph from everywhere he wants. And so Kuminga's going to have to find other ways other than scoring to be really, really impactful like Guy Santos has.
I wonder, man. Like, and we've talked about it. Like, it is, it's a difficult assignment. And that's exactly the word that Steve Kerr used, and with the contract looming and knowing that the Warriors are playing really well, and let's be honest, Anthony Slater talked about it. We won't use the word setback, but his ankle did not feel the way he and they wanted it to feel when he started pushing it a little bit. And that's why this return date has gotten pushed back, and they're still not promising that it's going to be Thursday or Saturday, but they said tonight that they're hopeful that Jonathan will play in one of the games later on this week. So that's great. But, dude, I mean, it's almost like starting a new job. You know what I mean? When you show up and you're like, okay, so, like, how do I fit into this whole thing?
Well, it's almost
it's difficult.
But it's even more strange than that because he's already had the job.
Yeah.
And so you were out for 3 months or 2 months for whatever reason, and now you go back to the office and it's like, whoa, my cube is not where it used to be, and I've got new people on my team, and you know, some of your duties were taken by other people, and now you have new duties, and it's like, I was starting to get really good at what I was doing, and now all of a sudden I have to do three or four different things. So it's an adjustment, but I have full faith that he and the team are going to make the adjustment work.
Big old number tonight. Big old number tonight.
Is it 12?
Is it 11 and a half? Yeah, 12, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
It's a big old number tonight. Portland is young. They're getting better, but they've also lost 4 or 5 and got banged around in Oregon by the Detroit Pistons just last night. So, you know, we said it earlier. I'm kind of with you. This is actually, I think, a good spot. It's a good spot for the Warriors tonight to keep it going.
Yep, and if you're the Warriors, you know you've got a couple of off days. No practice tomorrow. You'll get back to it on Wednesday. So this is just another one of those keep it rolling, feel good kind of outings. But don't sleep on Portland. They'll get you now.
Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
I can't wait.
Okay, let's do it again tomorrow. But Warriors Live is coming up next, and it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Evan Giddings is fancy. He's at Splash right now, getting ready to give you all the ins and outs and otherwise as the Warriors host the Portland Blazers tonight on 95.7 The Game. Thank you so much for listening and all the engagement tonight. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a
DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.